Hey now, welcome to Almost the Blaze, the podcast where we discuss music, life, and our experience here at UConn. Today we are going to start by talking about Pink Floyd, one of my favorite bands for sure. And somebody, you know, I've been listening to a lot of Floyd the past 2 weeks. I don't know why. It's just one of those bands. Like every now and then, I'll just like listen like nonstop for a big stretch. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No. What's it called? I was on a Pink Floyd hiatus. My brother's a big Pink Floyd fan. He went through. He's the one who got me into them, and he's younger than me. But I was listening to Wish You Were Here a couple of weeks ago, and it's like just out of there. I just went on a tear for like one night. I was just listening to Pink Floyd nonstop. What are some what are your favorite albums? What are their best albums?
So I mean, it's always been very up in the air with me with Floyd. Like, for a long time, I said Wish You Were Here, but then kind of my opinion shifted to Animals, which is a very criminally underrated album. But now, like, I'm back in the middle between Wish You Were Here and Animals. And I think what makes it complicated for me is that Wish You Were Here has Shine On You Crazy Diamond, which is, like, my favorite Floyd song.
That's, like, how long is that song? Isn't it, like...
25 minutes in total, but it's split up to bookend the album, which I think was a really good decision.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, opening it and closing with it, because that, you know, it works so great as an opener, but so good as a closer, too.
What's it called? My brother stands by Animals. He's been fighting against me for so long. He thinks it's their best album.
Animals is a very interesting album, for sure.
He gave me a copy of it on vinyl, and I still have yet to listen to it from top to bottom.
How much of Animals are you familiar with? Have you listened to?
It's been a while. It has been a while.
Well, it is a trip. It's definitely one you could sit down, you know, you can listen to, and it's like, whoa.
Like, that might be my next vinyl listen.
Well, definitely when you sit down and listen to it, you're gonna be caught off guard at first. Like, there's like the first tune, and then like the Pigs on the Wing. And then, like, you know, the intro of Dogs, and you'll be like, wait, what direction are they going with this? And then Dogs kicks in, and it's like, oh, there we go.
I think Dogs, that was my brother's favorite song. I mean, stood by that being the best Pink Floyd song for a while.
Dogs is a masterpiece. Like, it's a top five Floyd song of all time, for sure,
called? Isn't that like an anti-capitalist album or something?
The whole album, it's kind of... It's like loosely based on Animal Farm in a way.
Okay, interesting.
Because it's like three long piece works: Dogs, Pigs, and Sheep, and they all represent like different areas of society. And it's also really interesting with the album because it was kind of a response to the punk rock movement, which hated prog rock.
Didn't that come out in 77?
January 77.
So right around the same time as the Sex Pistols.
Exactly, because I think it was one of the Sex Pistols would wear a shirt that said, "I hate Pink Floyd."
Really?
Yeah. And, you know, Waters was like, you know what, screw it, and goes into the studio with this angry album of, like, these 10-plus-minute songs. But, I mean, it's great, for sure.
He's a character, Roger Waters.
Roger Waters is very interesting. He's certainly, you know, somebody I've researched a lot, like, the last week or two, for sure.
What's it called?
Very outspoken.
My brother told me this, and this could be completely false. I think his solo tour was either the highest grossing tour of all time.
At the time. The Wall Live from 2010 to 2013, over like a 3-year span playing the Wall album.
That's crazy.
Night after night, like 200 and some shows. The Wall, that is a heavy album, I'll tell you, because it's a double album. A couple weeks ago, I listened to it one night in full, because, you know, I was like, you know what? I'm not really doing anything else tonight, so let's do this. It is a trip.
I remember I had not... Back in high school, I was a Pink Floyd fan, and by that, I mean, I'd listened to Dark Side of the Moon once or twice.
Yeah.
And I remember telling one of my friends, who was a big Pink Floyd fan, that I had never listened to Comfortably Numb in its entirety before.
Dude.
And so the guitar solo hits, and
it's incredible.
Dude, it changes your life.
Oh, yeah. Certainly one of the greatest solos of all time. The Tony's got the stuff that he's doing on there. I remember when I was listening to The Wall for the first time, after Comfortably Numb, I'm like, I don't know if I can handle the rest of this, because when you listen to it, it's a rock opera. You're literally going along with the journey of the main character, Pink, who like builds this wall of isolation from the world. And like, I found as I was listening to it, I was like building my own wall. And I was like, I don't know if I can do this. So I turn it off. I'm sitting there for 5 minutes. I'm like, I need to finish this. I can't just let it end uncomfortably numb. So, and I finish it up, and side four is wild.
It is a double LP, isn't it?
It is a double LP, and it's heavy. You know, very, very psychological.
How does the story end? I forget what the supposed character's name is.
Pink. So I'll give the rundown of side four, because this is nuts. So like, it starts kind of with Comfortably Numb. It's like doctor was like, inject him with like some like, so we can like get through the show. But then he starts hallucinating that he's like this fascist dictator. Yeah. So that goes for a couple tunes, and then he's like, I can't do this. I need to get out of the wall. So he puts himself on trial in his own mind.
Really?
And that's where you get like the whole climax of the album, the trial. Wild tune. And you know, and the judge in his mind orders, tear down the wall. So the wall comes down, and then it ends with this tune, Outside the Wall, which is, it really doesn't add much to the plot. It's like a minute and a half, like little like accordion acoustic thing, really? Kind of. But what's really wild about the wall, so Outside the Wall, it ends very abruptly, and there's a guy saying, isn't this where? And then, at the very start of the album, it starts with like a couple notes of Outside the Wall, and the guy saying, we came in. So it's like, it's a circular thing.
Interesting.
Meaning that the process just keeps repeating over and over. And when you think about that is when it gets really heavy.
Dude, it's like a Shakespeare novel or something like that. Mm. It really is crazy.
Yeah, it's an intense psychological listen. Some great music on there. I mean, Comfortably Numb is worth the price of admission alone.
Did Roger Waters leave for the first time after the wall, or was
they did one more album, The Final Cut, which was basically a Roger Waters solo album in all but name. But they were kind of falling apart during the wall production.
What's it called? My favorite member of Pink Floyd is Syd Barrett. I'm kind of a Syd Barrett fan.
Syd Barrett. No, he does not get the love he deserves.
No, he does not. I'm drawing a blank on the name, but what was their first album? I think that's
Piper at the Gates of Dawn.
That's a
great album.
I love that opening little guitar riff.
Oh yeah, of Astronomy De Minor Domain.
It's just like haunting. It really is haunting.
Space,
it's like
rock,
spacey.
Man.
I know.
It's very psychedelic, spacey. That whole album. It's just, you listen to that. So those Syd Barrett tunes are just like, wow, there's some really cool stuff he's doing in here.
They're dark, too. They're surprisingly dark.
Yeah. And it's just the fall of Syd Barrett. It's just so tragic. Like, there was a clip of Waters talking about it on Joe Rogan.
I was just watching a little bit of that the other day.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm not a big Joe Rogan guy at all, but I saw that Roger Waters went on. And
I was surprised when I saw that. That's an interesting little interview there.
Yeah, for sure. But there was like an 8.5 minute clip of them talking about Syd Barrett. And it just really, it's so sad, you know?
Yeah, he was just, I don't want to say he was crazy, because he was obviously mentally ill.
He was certainly struggling with schizophrenia, but all the acid did not help.
I know. I'm just going to turn this down really quick.
Yeah, sure.
A little loud. But that is kind of scary. I think a similar thing happened to Peter Green of Fleetwood Mac, too. It's like they both took acid and just went crazy.
And
not crazy, that's not the politically correct term.
Yeah, and just kind of fell off in a way. Because like with Syd Barrett, like it was just, you know, I've like read some stuff, like it was like early 1968, or this was like one instance that Waters talked about. Barrett came in with a tune, was called like Have You Got It Yet? And he was showing it to the rest of the band. It's not like a normal Barrett tune, but then like he started like changing it. Like,
really?
He was just like changing it like crazy, and they were all like, this guy's lost it.
When they kicked him out, right? Because they brought David Gilmour in.
Yeah,
to, like,
and they were a five piece for a bit. It was like early 1968.
What's it called? Have you heard the story? And this comes from my brother. I don't know how true this is. I think it was like 2006, 2008, somewhere around then. I think Pink Floyd had not seen Syd Barrett since like maybe this.
They did see him. when they were working on Shine On You Crazy Diamond.
Isn't that
which is about Sid.
Yes.
He showed up to the studio.
Okay.
And they didn't recognize him at first because he was like, I guess he had put on weight and he shaved his head.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, he was just walking around the studio. And they're all looking like, who is that? And then they realized it was Barrett, which supposedly Waters broke down crying.
That's what the story was. It wasn't 2008, but that's the story my brother told me.
Because I think Barrett died around like 06, 08.
That's when he died, yeah.
But he showed up when they were working on the song about him, and they were all like, oh my God, Sid, what happened?
That's got to suck. That's got to be like one of the worst feelings in the world is to like see like the leader of a band just completely fall off.
And like it certainly makes me wonder, like, what would Pink Floyd have been had Sid Barrett like not gone down the path he was? Like if he had stayed sharp like he was on Piper at the Gates of Dawn, what would have Pink Floyd been?
Would
they have just like been in the cellar of like 60s psychedelic rock? Would they have evolved to what they did?
My guess is Roger Waters would have taken over, or he would have left and started his own band.
Yeah, wonder what that would have been like.
Probably similar to Pink Floyd is my guess, but I don't know. Then he probably wouldn't have had David Gilmour.
Gilmour, oh my God, such a game changer.
Great
for
musician.
Sure,
how much songwriting does he do? I've never really heard about him contributing to songwriting.
Like he would like. I don't know how much like of the lyrics he would do, but he would, you know, certainly do some stuff with the music.
Mm.
Like at least a lot of the stuff like "Wish You Were Here" and "Before" that, you know, Gilmour would get like writing credits on.
Okay.
Like really, from that, at least like with the Animals, the Wall, and the final cut, it was very Waters dominated.
What's it called? Because he's the only guitar player in the band, right?
Yeah.
Because Roger Waters is bass.
Yeah.
And then is it, I don't know the key, the percussionist.
Richard Wright.
Okay.
He's the keyboard player, Nick Mason on drums.
Okay. Interesting. What's it called? what was I going to say? I just had a thought and I lost it. I don't know. David Gilmour is a character.
Yeah, he's so good. Yeah. You know, like a blues guitarist in a prog rock band, he just added so much.
Is that where he started
from?
Was he a blues guitarist?
I mean, if you just listen to his playing,
it's very bluesy.
Like those solos and Shine On You Crazy Diamond.
It's kind of cool because it ties it back to rock. Because it could just be like atmospheric.
It that's what makes Pink Floyd, one of the things that makes Pink Floyd special.
Mm.
That and really Waters' brilliant lyrics, I would say. It's like each prog rock band has like some special about it, you know. Emerson, Lake, and Palmer, you know, they're just three virtuosos. Yes, you know, it's, you know, those harmonies. Genesis has a certain Britishness to it. Pink Floyd, far and away the best lyrics.
Definitely.
And, they certainly had like a very like psychedelic tinge to them, even in like, you know, the Dark Side and Wish You Were Here days.
Mm.
Like, just listen to, like, Breathe in the Air from Dark Side.
Yes. And what's it called? Great Big Gig in the Sky.
Oh,
that song is crazy. I remember what's it called. I found that song. I think I was watching, what is it, School of Rock one day?
Yo,
and Jack Black tells some girl to listen to the Gig in the Sky.
Great Gig in the Sky.
I was like, what is that? And I listened to it, and it's like, oh, damn.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that's why I had her listen to it.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
I remember one time I was scrolling through YouTube. Somebody put Great Gig in the Sky over, like, some sort of, like, animated like simulation of like an asteroid hitting Earth. It was like it works so well though.
It's weird. It kind of comes out of nowhere too. It's like time isn't right before it.
Time is right before it.
It is. You have that crazy guitar solo.
Yeah. You get like the Breathe reprise and then it goes into that, you know, you get the soft piano pattern and then when the drums come in.
Mm.
Ooh man.
What's it called?
It's
Great Gig in the Sky. Didn't they just hire some lady off the street to sing? Or maybe she was a studio musician.
I forget what it was, if she was a studio or off the street, something like that. I think she was like studio and she was around. They're like, yeah, come on in, try sing stuff.
Because I heard my brother told me that they were going to have her sing lyrics originally. And then she just kind of started singing and they were like, just go for it.
I know like she was like trying different stuff and they were like, no, just don't. We don't want like some typical, you know, just really like, I guess like playing to the like emotion or whatever. I don't know.
Have you listened to the, I don't know if it was right before Dark Side or if it was like an album or two before, but they have one live album that's pretty good.
Really?
Let me see if I can find the name of it.
I'm trying to think, was it Live at Pompeii or was
it? No, I think that was a little after. It was like
Dark Side. Cause I know Pompeii happened before. Yeah, Pompeii happened before Dark Side. I don't know if it was official album.
Because yeah, the song, there's a song on the album called like "Careful with That Axe, Eugene."
Oh, I know what you're talking about
one.
Now.
Yeah, let's see, what is it called? Let me go through Spotify.
How do I pronounce it?
I don't know how to pronounce it. This is what it's called.
Oh,
but
yeah, I'm a gum or whatever it is.
Sounds like a Grateful Dead.
Let me see that again. Here, yeah. Same year as Oxymoxawa. Let me see here. Oh yeah, I'm a gummer or Yuma Guma. I don't know. Yeah, that's a wild album. Like it's half half live and then half studio, admittedly nonsense.
Is it really?
But
what's it called? I remember I saw a video on Instagram of "Careful with That Axe, Eugene."
Great tune.
And you see a Roger Waters just scream like halfway
those
through.
Those Waters
like,
screams,
ooh.
Man, those are haunting.
It's scary. Even for like when you listen to like hardcore music and screamo, it still stands up.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
intense out of nowhere.
No, Waters and Floyd, they can get intense when they want to, for sure.
Very emotional. Very moving music.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
What's it called? Have you listened to any of Syd Barrett's solo stuff?
Not as much as I want to.
He's got a couple of tunes I like.
Because I know he put out, like, two albums,
I
right?
I think so. One of them was called Octopus, or maybe that was
a song
off of it.
There was definitely some with an octopus there.
It's interesting because it's like folk music, but it's a little spacey. I don't want to say psychedelic because it's not necessarily psychedelic, but it's just kind of spacey.
Folky
it's got a weird
like
guitar tune.
Like a psychedelic tinge to it.
Yeah, it's almost like Bob Dylan if you can. I guess if you combine Bob Dylan and Pink Floyd to an extent.
Yeah.
And the lyrics are okay.
Yeah.
Not my favorite, but he's still a character.
Oh, for sure. It certainly will go down as like a legendary figure who could have done so much more.
I know, just wasted potential.
I really would have loved to have seen.
It's kind of scary to think that he kind of just, I don't want to say did nothing with his life. But
it all happened so fast, too, all during 1967.
Yeah.
Just took so much acid.
Yeah, and probably blew up fast. You know, they got popular fast. I mean, I'm sure it was a lot.
Yeah.
Scary stuff.
You know, 67, crazy years, so.
67, 68, and 69, three great years in a row.
69, man.
With the exception of, like, Vietnam and, you know, stuff like that. But, you know, for music. Great years for music.
Awesome.
Great years for music.
In terms of the state of America,
maybe not. It's interesting that you say that the Sex Pistols wore that shirt that says, we hate Pink Floyd, because Sid Vicious, I don't think his name was actually Sid, but he stole it from Syd Barrett. That
really?
Was his inspiration, I think.
I didn't know that.
It's definitely interesting.
Let me check that. That's
that. Yeah, fact check me on that, because I could be lying to you.
If so,
right now.
That's funny then. Yeah, because his real name is John Simon Ritchie.
That doesn't sound like a punk name. Syd Barrett.
Yeah, Syd Vicious.
Or Syd Vicious.
Yeah,
that's what
let's
I'm looking
see. At. Yeah, there we go. Named after Syd Barrett.
Yeah.
Oh, wait. Yeah, that's it. Wow.
That is an interesting little connection right there.
Wow.
I wonder, he must have been a Pink Floyd stan.
Yeah, because I think it was just, I don't know if it was all of them, it was just Johnny Rotten, for sure, whatever his name is, wearing a knife.
Well, Johnny Rotten hates everyone, so he hates everything.
Yeah.
Did you see their Hall of Fame induction?
Oh, no.
Where they just, like, wrote on, like, a napkin. They were like, we don't want to be in the Hall of Fame.
I mean, the Rock Hall has turned into such a joke,
I know,
man.
It really has. Who even got inducted this year?
I don't even know. I stopped caring. I really did.
It was cool when all like the important bands get inducted.
I remember when Yes got inducted. It was so funny because like, so Geddy Lee and Alex Lifeson from Rush inducted them, and they're both hilarious.
Uh-huh.
And then with like the Yes speeches, you know, they were all so different from each other. Like John Anderson goes up there, you know, like a happy little. Like a happy little gnome in a way, because he's like short.
Uh-huh.
You know, Steve Howe's doing a very insightful thing. And then Rick Wakeman comes up and is just basically doing stand-up comedy. It's great.
The speeches are good. I like the Stooges gave a good performance when they got inducted.
Stooges
which is
awesome.
Crazy that they would have gotten, I mean
they deserve it, for sure.
But I never would have thought the Hall would let them in.
Yeah.
Just like Iggy Pop, no shirt on, just like telling people to get on stage.
How old is Iggy Pop right now?
Oh, I think
now?
He's in his 70s.
And he's still getting up there. Like, he's 75.
Like, he doesn't look bad for the lifestyle
he
he's lived.
For sure, man.
Let's see. Okay, this is not the...
Hold up, let me...
And I'm trying to look for the most recent Hall of Fame inductee class.
Yeah, I remember when Yes got inducted, they had Geddy Lee play bass with them on Roundabout.
Okay.
Oh my god, it was insane. And Wakeman was adding all sorts of stuff.
Really?
Yeah, it was awesome. Here we go. Rock Hall Class of 2020.
I see it. It's an interesting list.
What?
Duran Duran, Eminem. Dolly Parton. I like Dolly Parton.
I love Dolly Parton, but does she? But does she belong in the Rock and Roll Hall?
They're running out of people. No, she's not a. But the problem is,
they're
not.
There are so many artists that deserve to be in. Take King Crimson, the band who literally made the first prog rock album, and they're not in.
Even like Judas Priest, like metal bands.
Dude, they are. For some reason, they have some huge bias against Judas Priest and Iron Maiden, and like everybody is so mad about it.
Yeah, I don't know why. I guess.
Yeah, I'm looking at this list. It's like they're
Eminem is an interesting choice.
Eminem is great, but it's not the Rock Hall. He doesn't belong in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
I almost feel like going forward, they need to change it from like the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame to just like
if not, they need to induct people who actually deserve to be in there.
Exactly.
Like I said, no disrespect to Eminem, but does not belong in the Rock Hall.
I'm trying to think who else hasn't been inducted. Black Sabbath got inducted,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, they're in. If they weren't in by now, literally people would storm the place and burn it down.
Has Ozzy Osbourne been inducted as a solo artist? I don't think he has.
I don't know. Bands, let me see who hasn't been inducted. Yeah, that's a good question because, you know, every year we see the whole thing about Maiden and Priest, and I think it's about damn time they both get in because they're both phenomenal.
I think Soundgarden got nominated. I don't know if they were up for like a vote or like got put in.
My question is, will Weezer ever be inducted in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame?
With the music they're putting out now? No. Never. Never.
Can you imagine what would happen if they get inducted?
I think they will.
The internet is going to lose their mind.
So they're
going to
go with like the elf ears and stuff on TikTok.
Yeah, it is going to be funny, man.
It is. I love the Blue Album and I will stand by that. That deserves to be in the Rock. That loser deserves to be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
For sure. They're awesome.
I don't know. Yeah, Allison, here we go. List of biggest rock and roll or Hall of Fame snubs.
Good thing.
Alice in Chains is not in.
Well, you have to be around for like a certain number of years.
True.
They'll be in. Will be in.
Because Nirvana just got in. Nirvana's a couple years ago.
Pearl Jam is in.
Pearl Jam is in. Okay.
Yeah, Alice in Chains needs to be in. Like soon, a lot of like those '90s bands are certainly going to be in.
Definitely.
Jethro Tull isn't in yet, and
really?
I don't understand that. I mean, I'm a big Tull fan for sure.
What's it called? Brian Eno is not in the Hall of Fame.
Brian Eno needs to be there.
He does.
Super influential, you know?
He might be because of the Talking Heads. I don't know.
Really?
I don't know for sure, though.
I don't know, because it's only like official members and stuff, although... Let me see here, though, because I think Roxy Music got inducted. I know he was involved with them.
Oh, he was.
Yeah, so I don't know if he was... I don't know if he was one of the members...
The Monkees are not in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. That's a little surprising.
Interesting.
Oasis is not, but they probably will eventually.
Like I said, a lot of those 90s bands, it's just a matter of time. Green Day got in already.
Green Day did? Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which, I mean, again, very well deserved. I will stand by that.
Do you think Rage Against the Machine will ever get in? Like, once their time comes? I don't know if
they
would.
They deserve it, but I don't think
they would.
That's going to be...
The Smiths are not in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. That is interesting.
They'll be in there.
Definitely.
They'll
especially now that there's kind of like a Smiths resurgence.
Yeah. A lot of those like late 80s, 90s bands will be there. Smashing Pumpkins will get in at some point. I don't know. I'm just... Yeah, I got a whole list here of stuff.
I was going to say, this list has like Bad Brains and Black Flag, some punk rock bands, which is interesting.
Yeah. It'll certainly be interesting, you know, because I know Metallica's in, but a lot of those other like big thrash bands. Megadeth isn't in yet.
I know Dave Mustaine wants to be in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Oh, he technically is because he was part of Metallica for a while.
Yeah.
But I don't think Megadeth is ever going to get into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Do you think they deserve to be in there? They did put out some really good stuff.
That's true. I used to be a big Megadeth fan, and then I kind of over-listened to them.
Oh, no. Do you know Sweating Bullets?
Yeah. No, I know
awesome
Sweating
tune.
Bullets. What's it called? I like their Greatest Hits album is awesome. Yeah. I'm trying to see, what are some Megadeth songs I liked?
It's like there are two albums, like Peace Sells But Who's Buying and Rust in Peace.
Rust in Peace is a great album. That's a great thrash metal album.
Because that's got both Holy Wars and Hangar 18 on there.
Yes, it's got another sleeper song too. I forgot what it was called.
Is it Tornado of Souls?
Yes,
is that
it
the
was
one
Tornado
of
Souls.
Yeah, it's It's a super great album. What's it
called? I'm a Slayer and an Anthrax fan.
Really?
Those Anthrax in particular. I love Anthrax.
I really don't know much about Anthrax. Mm. I know enough about Slayer. I don't really listen to much of them.
It's aggressive. It's good music for running, for lifting. But
every now and then, like, I'll be jamming with some folks, and we'll start like the Raining Blood intro. Like, I'll be on drums, just like.
It's crazy how fast they play. They can go crazy.
I hear that, I'm like, oh my god, I would never be able to play that fast.
Yeah, I know. In the 80s too.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, not even like, I mean, now everyone plays like that, but they were doing that before everyone.
Yeah.
And they have, I think they have the most solid discography out of the Big Four.
I think certainly compared to the Big Four, they stayed true to pure thrash for their career.
So too. I think Dave Mustaine did too, to an extent.
I don't know, because even if you look at Megadeth, like, if you, like, what's the album? Countdown to Extinction, in a way, is kind of, like, similar to the Black Album by Metallica. Not as, like, necessarily dumbed down as the Black Album
but is, it's a little,
still
a little
comparable. You
little
know what I mean?
Down.
Yeah, like, at least compared to Rust in Peace. Yeah.
Metallica breaks my heart because their first three albums are all
they're so good.
Masterpieces. They're all amazing.
What are your thoughts on And Justice for All? Because that, I get so many different responses from people.
I have never really given it a chance because the bass is so turned down. I think that was mean thing for them to
there
do.
There are, I agree. There's mixes on YouTube with the bass turned up.
Okay,
yeah,
I'll have to listen to
that.
It's
like And Justice for Jason or something.
Okay.
I mean, there's some great tunes on there, like very, very technical album. Mm.
I don't know. They just treated Jason like shit.
It was just
upsetting to watch.
For sure. Because they were, you know, they were struggling after, what was it?
Cliff Burton.
Probably the
best bass player of all time. I think you can put him up there. Everyone says he's like the Hendrix of like bass.
Really?
I'm not a bass player, so I can't confirm that.
I don't know. Best bassist of all time. Like,
the guy from Rush is pretty good.
Oh, Geddy Lee?
Yeah.
I would make the argument Jaco Pastorius, jazz bass player.
Okay.
Big time innovator. He was really phenomenal for sure.
Have you listened to Pulling Teeth off of the Metallica's first album?
Yes.
Yeah. I would say
I think like their first album is like my favorite one.
that is
and a lot of people don't say that, but I dig it.
There are some good songs off of that. I do think I'm a Ride the Lightning
Ride
is
the
my
Lightning
number one.
Is
just
awesome.
the cover work, the
I do
Creeping
love Ride
Death.
The Lightning.
Do you know that Dave Mustaine wrote like a bunch of the songs off their first album, which is interesting.
Yeah, he's got some writing credits on there. Mm. What's the one that opens Kill 'Em All? Hit the Lights. What a riff.
I know.
That's what makes
the album. It gets me so hype all the time. Going crazy to it.
Yeah. I mean, those first three albums, just like one of the best three trios in music.
Oh, definitely. And Master of Puppets. I don't listen to it as much anymore.
It's so good.
Especially now that like it's blown up with Stranger Things. It's
like
you're listening to Master of Puppets. Like you're not a true Metallica fan.
I mean, it's still a great song.
I'm trying to think, what are some like sleeper songs off of that?
Orion.
Is that the one with the bass line where it's
the instrumental, kind of similar to Call of Cthulhu from Ride the Lightning, which is also very underrated. Mm.
Creeping Death might be my favorite song
on
that album.
Yeah, I'm trying to think what is my favorite. Like, Call of Cthulhu is great. Mm. Fade to Black is just a masterpiece.
What's it called? Metallica's latest album was actually not bad. I thought it was pretty good. It came out in like 2017,
Hardwired?
Their latest album. Yeah, I thought it was okay.
Yeah. Well, remember,
I'm trying to think what
anything
other...
can be better than the one they did with Lou Reed.
Lulu.
Yeah, I think we talked about it. I remember
before.
We were talking about Lou Reed.
Yeah, I think we brought it up before. It's finally on Spotify.
Oh,
it was not on Spotify
for the longest time.
And
somehow it's an album worse than Saint Anger. Mm.
I've never listened to Saint Anger. I mean, I've listened to like parts.
Well, my problem with Saint Anger as a drummer
is it the drumming? Everyone says the drumming sucks.
Well, it's not that it sucks. It sounds terrible. Just the snare. Ugh. Well, that's a big thing with Metallica. Lars is awful now.
That's what everyone says, that he's like just not a good drummer.
You can literally look up videos of like Lars Ulrich or Ulrich fail compilations. It's nuts.
Why do you think that is? Is he just not practice?
I really
just
don't
old
know.
Age?
I don't know.
Because he used to be good, like when he first started.
I mean, you listen to some of the stuff, like you listen to like his drum part on one with the double bass. It's like, wow. But I don't know what it is. It's just they commonly accepted among even Metallica fans, like, yeah, Lars sucks.
Not good. Dude, their whole Napster thing, too.
Oh, my God.
I don't know. I don't like post-Black Album Metallica.
I mean, there isn't that much really there even after.
I know, yeah.
Well,
they have, like,
it.
Well, Loaded and Reloaded, were those?
Yeah, those, like, mid-90s. I mean, there's...
That was after the Black
there's
Album.
There's some moments... But
I don't know. They just, I don't want to, they sold out is what it came down to.
I mean, the Black Album is still great. It's just very different. But there's still a lot of really great songs on there.
Did that come out before or after Nevermind? Because I think they came out on the same year.
Same year, 1991. Okay. You look up Nevermind, I'll look up the Black Album.
Because I've been wondering that for a while.
91, I saw some stat. It was like within a month. I think like it was like, the Black Album, Nevermind, and Guns N' Roses' Use Your Illusion came out within like the same month.
I'm not a big Guns N' Roses fan. Let's see. Nevermind, September 24th, 1991.
Black Album is August 12th, 91.
Oh, wow. So they were like
and
literally
I'm pretty
like,
sure
within a month and a half.
Use Your Illusion 1 or 2 by GNR was like September 17th.
Okay.
So within a month.
That's crazy.
That
those
is
are like
so
three
much.
Big albums.
For sure. Like, especially like Use Your Illusion. Like, cause...
What are your thoughts on Guns N' Roses and Axl Rose?
God, Axl Rose.
He's the worst. I'm not going to lie. I'm not an Axl Rose fan. I do not like him.
Now he doesn't sound great. You listen to his voice. It's like, wow, how can a human do that? Like, in his prime, in the studio, because, you know, some of the live stuff you hear, it's like, ugh. But those two albums, because they do a lot on those.
That's
released
true.
The same day. Use Your Illusion 2 is better.
Is that the blue one?
That's the blue one.
That one's better.
Civil War, Estranged, Locomotive, You Could Be Mine. So it's widely regarded as the better one. Also, a lot of good deep cuts on there. Mm. Like 14 Years is awesome.
What are some good songs off of here? Could Be Mine. I've always liked that
one,
too.
But yeah, that album... That's a really good album. It's certainly one of my favorites. One is interesting. A lot of people...
It's on one.
A lot of people like One because it has November Rain.
Oh, yeah.
Which
I've never really listened to that song. I don't know.
Really?
I'm not a power ballad guy, so...
It's certainly power ballad to end all power ballads. We'll put it that way. Great, great guitar work by Slash. Mm. But, they've had a lot of controversy. Like, you ever see about their... disastrous 1992 tour with
Metallica. Wasn't that with Metallica? What happened? Because I've heard that. I've seen it on YouTube before.
James Hetfield, he got burned in like a pyrotechnics accident.
Did he like blow his hand off? Or like it burned through his skin or something like that?
He got at least like second degree burns.
Okay.
But there was a riot in Toronto at one of their shows.
Because didn't Axl Rose just like leave for his set?
Yeah, because like they started late. Axl Rose was like, fuck this, I'm out of here. Not a good scene. Very, very infamous moment in music history.
Have you seen that one clip? It's like, I don't know if this was the same thing or if it was like, I think it was in St. Louis, so I think it was somewhere else where like he started a riot, like left, and then the city wanted him to come back so they could arrest him, and he just like walked right in and they arrested him and they interviewed him in the police car like once he got out and he was like, yeah, I just signed autographs and like talked to cops for like 2 hours. It was awesome.
Oh, man. That's so funny.
He is a character. I will give him that.
He is certainly interesting. I think he's like 60 now.
He's old. He looks a little,
which is
wild. Rough.
Like you see him on stage, comes out like a t-shirt, like flannel around him. Sometimes
and like skinny jeans.
Sometimes he'll have a hat too. Like it's a look, but it's like.
Did you see him play with AC/DC?
I saw a video once. Weird pairing.
I know. Who would have thought? How did that come about? Do you know how that...
Because I think what happened was, like, Brian Johnson at one point, like, retired because of, like, hearing problems.
Okay.
So they brought in Axl Rose, like, help out on the tour. And I remember first seeing that, I'm like, what?
That's, like, something out of a nightmare. It's like Axl... There's an alternate reality where Axl Rose took over for Bon Scott instead of Brian Johnson.
I've always been very anti-ACTC.
I was pro ACDC for the longest time, and for like almost a year, I think over quarantine, I listened to a lot of AC/DC.
Oh, God.
And then my brother was like, you realize you're just listening to the same song
exactly.
over and over again. And I was like, why would you tell me that? Because now I can't listen to them anymore.
I mean, there's some good songs I'll listen to, but I don't get like people who are like big AC/DC super fans. Like the shows seem like a blast.
Oh, yeah, they seem fun.
But like, I just don't get the
hype. I don't like Back in Black. I never really liked that album.
I mean,
I don't dislike it, but it's...
And you get the big debate, like Bon Scott versus Brian Johnson. I'm Bon Scott
same,
all the way.
Same. Bon Scott is the only AC/DC I can listen to anymore now.
Because I think the problem is people argue for Brian Johnson. Their whole argument is based on, well, he was there for Back in Black.
Exactly.
But Bon Scott wrote a lot of it before he died.
He built the band, too. I mean, he was just a great personality.
Was phenomenal.
There's like one performance where he's just like wearing a skirt on stage. It's awesome to see. He's like just chilling, smoking a cigarette.
Oh,
it's,
man.
How did he die? He just drank himself to death, right?
I think so. I don't know. Let me look that up.
I think there's kind of some mystery surrounding that.
I'm not sure. How old was he, too? I want to say. All right, here we go. Bon Scott, he was 33.
Okay, so he was a little older.
Let me see how he died. You know, passed out and died. Acute alcohol poisoning.
Yeah, alcohol. Sad. What's it called? Have you seen Angus Young? Like now, he looks a little rough. Yeah.
He is a character too.
He's a tiny dude. He's like small.
What is his height?
He's skinny. Like he's
because I know he's short. Angus Young height. 5'2".
Yeah, he's tiny. He's literally like that big. That's crazy.
Oh, man. Well.
Hey, good thing he started learning how to play the guitar.
Oh,
otherwise,
for sure.
Who knows
like,
what else
he'd
be
doing. Can you imagine seeing someone like that walking around dressed like that, too? That would be hilarious.
I can't believe people. I think that's just the most, like, awful stage attire. I've never liked it. It's just, weird.
It's
like,
certainly one of the most interesting.
Yeah. Like, it's, I guess it's fun, but it's like a grown man wearing like a schoolboy's uniform. It's like
I'll tell you one of the most interesting stage attires. The drummer from Fish, John Fishman,
really
wears these various dresses. Do you know like the things like the circle things associated with Fish in a way?
Not really. Wait, what's his name? I'm gonna
John
look
Fishman. F-I-S-H-man. Yeah, and like at every show. These are like these dresses with like these colored rings on them, pretty much. I mean, he can get away with it because he's such a phenomenal drummer. Hey, here we go.
Interesting. What is?
But it's got like different. He's got different ones.
Really?
Yeah.
What is the reasoning for that? Does no one know?
I don't really know much. I mean, there's got to be a reason somewhere, but it's funny.
It's just kind of a gimmick.
But I mean, he's a phenomenal drummer. Like,
so he can get away with.
Oh yeah. Like when I saw them live over the summer, listening to them drum, it's like, wow, this is good.
What's it called? Speaking of Fish, I was at Newbury Comics the other day looking for a vinyl for my friend's birthday, and they have this big Fish box set for like $500. It is it's a lot of money.
I love Fish, but I'm not dropping $500 on a
say,
box
no.
set. Sorry, Trey, but
they have some good Grateful Dead live vinyls there too. They have I think Europe 72 just got remastered, so they had a couple of those.
It's the 50th anniversary this year.
Yeah. That is crazy. Yeah. I just started listening to that recently actually.
So
it's
good. So good.
Also, I think one of the best studio albums by the Grateful Dead or their band members is Bobby Weir's first solo album.
Ace,
yes.
Well, it's so funny with Ace because all of the members play in it. It's essentially
that's what I figured.
It's
it was
essentially
just
a Dead album, and they pretty much did all the songs. And yeah, that was the 50th anniversary this year.
Was it? It was 1972.
1972. So that's when I saw Bobby and the Wolf Brothers in April.
They were just
April.
Playing Ace.
Yeah, they did all of Ace the first set, and then second set they did a whole bunch of stuff. Mayer came out. They did the full Terrapin Suite.
Really?
Great night. Yeah.
Interesting.
But yeah. I would highly recommend Bobby and the Wolf Brothers.
Okay.
Such a cool sound.
Are they still touring now? Are they
I think they're
going around the country.
Yeah, they're on. I think they are on tour like right now. It was like a fall tour. I saw the opening night in Waterbury like a month ago. phenomenal night.
What's it called? I need to go to more shows like that. I've decided I'm sick of hardcore shows.
Oh,
I can't
yeah.
do it anymore.
How was that show you went to? I haven't seen you
awkward
since
night.
Before.
It was a little bit of an awkward night, and I guess we can get a little PG-13 here.
Uh-oh.
Basically, my friend's birthday was the night before.
Mm-hmm.
Had a little too much to drink and woke up with a big headache, and I was like, I am not going to a hardcore show with a hangover. So a friend of mine went in my place, and I think it was the right decision not to go because
yeah.
it looked a little aggressive, for lack of a better term.
I'm sure
so,
it was.
Yeah, no. I think I've decided I'm going to take a little hiatus from
yeah.
those shows. It's
yeah.
like, you know, I just want to be able to chill and
yeah.
relax.
Well, that's what's awesome about, like, Dead and Fish
yeah.
shows and, like, things like that. Even, like, a lot of the local Dead bands. Cooper and I, we went to Mystic Dead last week.
Oh, really? How was that?
They're playing in Norwich. They're awesome.
Mm.
Like, and they do, like, Jerry Band stuff, too.
Okay.
Like, they open with How Sweet It Is, because I only caught the second set, but they're awesome. They have two drummers.
Really?
Yeah.
They did. How far is Norwich from here? Is that a...
It's like half an hour. It's like...
Oh, that's not far
it's
at all.
Like
a, that's
this
not far
outdoor
at all.
Pizza truck. Yeah.
Really? Interesting.
Yeah, cool scene. A lot of Deadheads there, so...
What's it called? I ended up going to a jam session in someone's basement the other
night.
It was very, very interesting.
Cool.
I can't play, so I was kind of just taking up
Where
space.
Where was it at?
Do you know, I guess we can name drop. You don't know Faisal, do you? He's,
I know who he is.
Yeah,
I've seen him around here.
It was at Faisal's house, and we are putting on a house show. Or I'm not. He is putting on a house show.
When's that going to be?
Next Saturday, I think.
Okay.
My friend
give
Zach.
Get me posted.
You should definitely come. It's, my friend Zach and Zuhair, they're in a hardcore band.
Zuhair's in a hardcore band?
Yes, it's his band. He sings.
Really?
Yeah, they're
cool.
Okay. Here, let me show you.
Yeah.
I have their whole... Sorry, I just awkwardly got an email from my professor.
It's all good, man.
So sorry.
No, it's all right.
I'm doing an extra credit paper for a class. And
it's not the France one, right?
It is the France one. I just had my midterm for. I can't even talk about that midterm on this. I think I'd get in trouble.
Okay. Well,
I did not cheat on that midterm. I studied really hard.
You heard it.
Yeah.
You heard it right
I did
here,
not
folks.
Use,
Will is very
yes.
studious.
I did not use Quizlet during the exam because that would be wrong.
That would be bad.
Just to clarify. But,
study hard, kids.
Yeah, study hard.
Do good. Do
especially
good things.
In, no, it is. And so we have an extra credit paper, and she just basically said I did it wrong. So
what?
Too bad.
What did you have to write about?
Well, so I had to turn in a like a proposal for like what I'm going to write it on. And I was like, oh, like I want to write my paper on the Salem witch trials and like the Crucible, because I've read it before.
Oh, yeah.
And she says, as I mentioned repeatedly on the syllabus and in class, no papers on the Salem witch trials will be accepted.
I mean, if it was on there.
Yeah, that's kind of my bad. I have oops, but it's all good because I gave a second idea, so that should
cool.
work. But
Correct.
What were we talking about before that happened? Oh yes, Zuhair's band.
Yeah, the hardcore.
Yeah, I'll show you
band,
a little.
What
little,
are they called?
Called Dashcam.
Dashcam.
And I think they want me to get their logo tattooed right here. So we'll see if they could play a good show. Here's a little clip of their rehearsal.
Yeah. Looks like a cool scene. Like
yeah,
the
no.
lights and stuff.
That's Faisal's basement. It's pretty cool. It's a little
cool setup.
A little cramped in there.
Yeah. Bro, I cannot wait to be back for Thanksgiving break and jamming in my basement with my band or just anyone. Ugh, it's gonna be so good.
What's it called? I was jamming with my I went home when did I go home? I think it was some day last week. I think it was Thursday. And me and my brother just started jamming, you know. What's it called? My problem with guitar is I have terrible rhythm. I can't strum for anything.
Yeah.
But it's still fun to just pick up an instrument and pretend like you know what you're doing. So.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah, I certainly miss jamming with my band back home. Shout out the Water Boys.
You should get on the come up to UConn, play a show.
Maybe. We'll see what happens with that. Just, you know, it's tough. You know, we're spread out all over the place. One's in Buffalo.
Oh,
one's,
okay. So
one's
you guys
in
are
Albany.
A little further.
And then, you know, and our singer, he's on the island.
Buffalo's far from here. That's
it's
much further. Yeah. It's
yeah.
Like, isn't it like 8 hours or something? Maybe that's.
Probably. I don't know. Even it's Buffalo's far.
Yeah. It
you know,
is a hike.
Anything upstate or. Well, if you're from Buffalo, you claim it's Western New York, but being on Long Island, it's like, no, anything, it's upstate.
Okay.
I saw some guy trying to claim one time, anything past the outfield of Yankee Stadium is upstate. which is funny.
I would say, what qualifies it? Probably past Yankee Stadium, but
really,
as soon as you get out of the city.
Past the Bronx, because Westchester is weird. What... It's like, I want to call Westchester upstate, but that also feels wrong.
Okay.
But, yeah. Like, I don't know.
I don't know. I've never really been the West. I've never really been outside of Manhattan or Brooklyn before.
Hmm. Never been on the island?
No, never. Mm-mm.
It's an interesting
place.
I've seen it
from a distance at the beach, but...
You got to get past the suburban hellscape that is Nassau County and most of Western Suffolk County. Like, at least where I am, you know, there's farms and stuff. Or by the water. It's pretty chill.
That sounds nice. What's it called? Are there cities on the island? Do you guys have like a little city or something?
I mean, like, you know, it's a lot of it's basically giant New York City suburb.
Okay. Technically
we're part of, or even where I am, it's New York metropolitan area.
Okay. How do you get there? Is there a bridge or do you just take a ferry or something?
To the city?
Yeah, or just to get off the island.
You can drive in like through or around Manhattan, there's trains and stuff.
Sure.
To come up here, usually I take a ferry across the Sound. So,
okay,
yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, so that works out good, because if I didn't do that, I'd have to go across the island and then around the city and like through the Bronx and stuff.
Really? That is crazy.
Driving in the city sucks.
Oh, yeah. What's it called? This summer, I drove right into... It wasn't Manhattan, but it was Brooklyn. But still, it was quite the experience. Driving through Brooklyn is... if you haven't done it before, it's a little scary. Sure. So.
Where'd you go? Any interesting areas?
So I went to a venue called Brooklyn Steel.
Brooklyn Steel.
And it's like a warehouse or something like that. And I was with Zach, my buddy Zach. And he did not like the city environment. It was stressing him out a little bit.
There's some sketchy areas.
Yeah, not even the fact that it's sketchy. It's just, you know,
it's not a lot
of space.
It's a lot,
a lot of cars.
Especially like Manhattan too now.
Oh,
it's
I would not mind living in the city for a certain point in my life.
Yeah,
you know?
I mean, from like living in Manhattan in your 20s, it's like a rite of passage.
I think so. That's
kind
of my goal secretly.
Yeah.
The only problem is I'd be flat broke if I did.
Oh, yeah.
What
that's
rent
a problem.
Is now, like, groceries.
It's freaking nuts.
Yeah, but I could sell my car and live off of that for a while.
Yeah, you really don't need to drive.
Yeah. I want to live in a city because I love how at UConn you can just walk anywhere.
Yeah,
it's like you need
I love that.
It's and. I don't want to give that up. You know, I don't want to have to, like, I don't want to live in the suburbs.
Yeah.
For, like,
oh, God.
The
no.
middle of my 20s.
I don't
no,
want to live in the
suburbs.
I just hate, like, all these, like, developments of houses that all, you know, they all look like
that
each other, look the same. I just hate that so much.
That is my street. I will not say what street I live on.
Oh,
but,
that sucks.
It's,
I mean, I'm sure it's nice, but.
No, and, like, there are nice people who live there.
Yeah.
But it's
like. Like, at least, like,
it's just boring.
Like, the little neighborhood I'm in, like, it's all, like, different houses and stuff, so it's, you know, it's pretty nice.
Yeah.
And, like, where I am on the island, it's good because it's, like, half suburban, half rural, so it's a very, very
That's kind
nice
of what
mix.
I have, too, from where I'm from.
Because, like, I'm in civilization, but I'm not, like, you know, just in the middle of farm fields, even though, you know, we do have some great local farms in my town.
Yeah, no, what's it called? I have family out in Nebraska, so we'll go there sometimes.
Oh, boy.
Oh, my God. There, it's like you're just in the middle of nowhere.
Surrounded
it's like,
by corn.
Yeah, and it's weird because they live in this little man-made forest. Or my grandparents live in this little man-made forest. They did, actually.
Man-made
they just moved
forest?
Through. It's just, I mean, there's no trees in Nebraska. It's just cornfields.
Yeah.
And so some real estate guy bought a bunch of property, grew some trees to make it look like it was a forest or something, literally dug a lake, and... It's just like you're in this little forest and you leave and you go out into like the cornfields and it's just that for miles. Literally in Nebraska, if you need to get somewhere, you drive in a straight line for an hour, take like a right-hand turn, and then you just go straight for another 2 hours.
One of my goals is I want to do like a like coast-to-coast road trip just across the
country.
Driving through the Midwest will be funny.
Yeah, no. That's why I almost want to, what's it called? I want to, if I do a coast-to-coast road trip, I want to go like down south.
Yeah.
That's probably more of the same, to be honest.
I don't know. Well, the South is interesting. Like, it's certain areas in the South. Like, I'll go to Nashville.
Nashville's
like,
fun. I've been to Nashville
before. I got no desire to go to, like, Alabama or Mississippi.
I was
going to
say, I probably would cut through, like,
what?
I'd probably cut through, like, Kansas.
What I would...
Too, too,
I've like thought about it before. Like, mm-hmm. I'd love to like kind of like from the island, like go across like Pennsylvania, go up mm-hmm. to like the Rock Hall in Cleveland, mm-hmm. down to like Nashville. Love to go to NOLA.
Where's that?
New Orleans.
Oh, duh, New Orleans. Yeah, I was like, what is that? I've never heard of that city before. No, I really want to go to New Orleans.
From what I heard, NOLA can be wild.
Honestly, I thought about going to like grad school there for a while.
Because I know they got Tulane down there, which is, it's so funny. It's like one of like the best academic schools, but also like one of like the biggest party schools
it's
in the country.
New Orleans, so you get the best of both worlds there.
For sure.
Nashville is a lot of fun. I went there for a wedding. Have you been to, they have, B.B. King. I don't know if it's, like, a chain or if it was, like, his actual bar.
Bluesville or whatever.
He had a little B.B. King's, like, bar or something there. It is a lot of fun. Yeah. That's what got me into, like, rock and roll music to start with. Awesome. You just walk in there. They have really talented musicians.
Cool. Yeah, I'd love to go to Nashville. I want to go to Memphis, but I hear it can be sketchy.
That's what I've heard, too. I'm trying to think. Did I go to, that's in Tennessee, right? That's not
Okay. Yeah, it's still in Tennessee. It's, like, the bottom like southwest corner of the state.
I don't think I've been there before.
Yeah.
Also, Nashville is where it's at though. I don't know if it's like a main street or if it's a downtown. Mm-hmm. But there's this one area in Nashville. It's just all bars, restaurants.
Cool.
It's awesome. They got like the Johnny Cash Museum. They got everything.
That
there.
Sounds so cool.
Where else? I want to go to San Francisco.
I've been to San Francisco. Yeah. I can tell you about it. It's interesting. It's just, I feel like it's gone downhill a lot.
Isn't there like the big homeless problem there?
I mean, it's a big problem in California in general, but like especially there, certainly drug problems. Mm. I mean, there are good areas to go. I mean, you got to go to Haight-Ashbury.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like, you know, the nicest area, but you know, you still got to go stand at the corner, man.
Yeah, exactly.
See 710, you know.
I was reading about that street during a class the other day instead of paying attention, but apparently, like, a whole bunch of people lived on that street or in that area.
Even in that house, you know. And I have a picture of me somewhere in front of the Grateful Dead house,
I kind of want to buy it secretly and just, like, live there.
Somebody owns it
there. Yeah.
But, like, they put, like, a gate in front of the steps so, like, people wouldn't go up and
like vandalize it. Or
well, not
like,
even
or
that, just, like, to stand there and, like, take pictures. So, I mean, who wouldn't want to stand on the steps of that place?
I wonder if it will be a, what's it called, later in our lifetime. Like, if they'll make it, like, a national, like, historical
they should.
Spot or, I think they will.
I think they should,
I think
sure.
when this person goes to sell it, because a lot of the Grateful Dead stuff is on, like, or it's, like, in the Library of Congress now, and it's on, like, archive.com.
I think certainly I would say so. Or, like, something like little dead museum or something.
Yeah, or something like that.
It deserves to be something.
I think so.
But, I mean, yeah, San Francisco, it's cool to check out. There's some nice areas, like, you know, by the water and stuff. Don't go to Pier 43. That's a tourist trap.
Not,
but there's some, like, you know, there's some, like, cool down earth, you know, like, breweries and things, places where you can get some good clam chowder. Definitely, if you can, like, get on a boat, you know, see if, like, we went on this one. It went past Alcatraz and, like, under the Golden Gate.
Interesting.
Seeing the Golden Gate on the water, that's a sight. We drove across the Golden Gate coming down because we were in whatever it is, Marin County. There's like some sequoias up there or something.
Is the Golden Gate Bridge, is that bigger than the Brooklyn Bridge or is
I
it?
I think so.
Okay.
Because I think it's bigger than that.
Because I was driving
it really
across
is the huge. It's huge, the Golden Gate.
I was driving across the Brooklyn Bridge once and I didn't realize that's what it was.
I don't know if I've driven across there. Mm.
It's like me and my buddy Zach, we were halfway through and we were like, oh shit, like this is the Brooklyn Bridge we're on. Like we can see the city.
Yeah.
It's a fun little bridge to cross.
Yeah, I don't know if I've ever, I'm sure I've had to have.
It actually kind of sucks driving on it just because the lanes are so thin.
Yeah. I mean, most of the bridges in New York are
stressful.
It's tough, you know. The Verrazano was tough, the GW getting out of Manhattan into Jersey is tough. Well, the Verrazano sucks because it's like you get off and you're like, I'm on Staten Island now. God, I propose for anybody who's listening, I propose that that New York gives Staten Island to New Jersey for nothing in return.
Maybe a sports team or Jersey even have a sports team anymore?
Well, the Jets and Giants play in East Rutherford.
Yeah, they're New Jersey.
I mean, they have the New Jersey Devils.
Oh, they do have the hockey team.
One of the many hockey teams I hate. But other than that, not really. But, you know, the Jets and Giants play there, so kind of.
It's like,
I don't know.
What's it called? I also wouldn't mind going to Seattle. That's another place I would like to visit.
Yeah.
Especially during like the fall when it's rainy. I don't know when it's rainy out there, but
it's always rainy out there in Seattle. I think where would I love to go? Well, certainly, you know, I mentioned New Orleans and Nashville. I want to go to Austin.
Yeah, I would like to go to Austin. I've never been to Texas.
I've never been to Texas either.
Yeah.
Because like even though, you know, I'm not a fan of the state, I think it's run by morons.
Oh, yeah,
I think
definitely.
It's run by morons.
I think everyone can agree
on
Austin, that.
But Austin is a pretty hip place to be.
Is it? I'm trying to think. What else is there? Like Dallas and San Antonio? Is that?
I'm not going to Dallas.
Okay.
I'll tell you what. I'm not going to Dallas.
I don't know anything about those Texas cities.
I don't know much about Dallas, but I'm not going there. San Antonio seems interesting, but Houston is literally the worst designed city in America.
Is it really?
From everything I've read, it's like impossible to like walk anywhere. Like it's bad. Like I don't know the exact details. You'll have to look it up, but I was watching some once. It's like it's like the worst designed city. In
interesting. I wonder why. I wonder what else is. I'm trying to think. What else is a terribly designed city?
I don't know. In terms of terrible design,
Have you been to Hartford yet?
Yeah, I've been to Hartford a couple times.
Yeah, not a lot going on. So.
No, I mean, I'll tell you though. I went to a Dead and Co show there.
Because you went to Xfinity Theater, right? Yeah.
I've been to two there. One at the Xfinity Theater, but I went to one at the XL Center.
Oh, really? It was at the XL Center?
Yeah.
Interesting.
5 years ago, it was the night before Thanksgiving, 2017, and I remember when they turned the house lights on. I'm like, holy shit! This is the smokiest I've ever seen a place.
Really?
Oh,
in the
my
XL
God.
Center?
It was like the smokiest venue. Like, looking across the other side, it's hazy. I'm like, oh, my God.
That's funny.
And I remember specifically, you know, they video every one of those Dead & Co. shows for Nugs. And during US Blues, toward the end of the show, the camera pans, and you can see my mom and I dancing. So that was
funny.
That was a fun night. But yeah, very good times, man.
Interesting.
Yeah, I've two Hartford shows I've been to. It's good.
You've been to the Science Center in Hartford before?
I don't think so.
You're not missing out on much, but it's, you know, I'd go there for field trips every once in a while.
I want to go see a baseball game there for the Hartford Yard Goats.
Yeah, I know the Yard Goats.
Yard Goats.
It's fun, actually. Like, the stadium is big enough to where it feels like you're, like, at an actual baseball game.
I just want to go to a baseball game again. Like, I went to two Mets games, like, years ago, and I just want to get back. Because I'm like, at Citi Field all the time for Dead & Co. But, like, the Mets.
I was not a big baseball guy growing up. So, I went to, like, the Yard Goats game I went to was the first baseball game I'd ever been to, at least that I could remember. And it's actually interesting. Like, it keeps you entertained. It grabs your attention. I thought I'd be, like, half asleep during it, but
yeah, it's cool. I'm trying to think, like, what baseball stadiums have I been? Because I know I've been in other stadiums. I was in Dodger Stadium for Dead & Co. That's a cool state. That's a cool place.
I went to Fenway when I was like baby. So.
I was at Fenway for a school trip in Boston.
Oh, really?
Yeah. That one's cool. PNC Park in Pittsburgh. Beautiful stadium. I am looking forward to going back to Pittsburgh when we go out to Burgettstown for Dead & Co.
Yeah, when you have that little trip.
Man.
Are you going to two shows in Pittsburgh or is it the one?
No,
it's
only one in Pittsburgh. So it's like one in Bristow, Virginia, which is like basically in Northern Virginia suburbs, and then Burgettstown, which is like outside of Pittsburgh.
Okay, interesting.
Yeah. So, and they're like smaller amphitheaters, so those would be good.
Oh, really? So it'll be a little bit more. Tightly packed.
For sure. I love those amphitheaters. Like, I saw a show at Shoreline Amphitheater in basically Palo Alto.
Okay.
It was like right next to the Google headquarters. Super cool show. Super cool show. I remember, do you know the song Karina? It was like, it's like one of the 90s ones.
I don't.
Kind of. It's like this very hypnotic groove. It's not great, but all like the California freaks dancing love it.
Karina, you said it's called?
Yeah, it starts with a C. C-O-R-R-I-N-A. It's not great, but like when Dead & Co. did, I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. But it was pretty good. You know, like I said, one of those kind of like hypnotic groove things.
Interesting.
Yeah.
It was out in California, right?
Oh, yeah. Very different parking lot scene. Very different.
How come?
It just wasn't the same. Like, everybody just went to Shakedown, and Shakedown kind of sucked. Like, people were selling straight up rocks. Oh. Not even crystals. Rocks.
Just rocks.
Yeah. It's just like, why? Who's going to buy this? I mean, if you're high enough, probably.
Probably. That's probably what they're doing.
Look at this beautiful, beautiful rock. How much?
I've never been to California.
Yeah.
I would like to.
Well,
I used to want to live there. Yeah. That's a childhood fantasy, I think.
Northern California is better. I did not like SoCal. Just because it's just too many people.
Mm.
But Northern California is cool. Like, my family, we did a big trip out there like 4 years ago, like basically based around those two California shows. Yeah. Like, we flew into San Jose and stuff. Did like a whole giant...
San Jose is northern, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Horrible airport, just going to say that. Like, it's just, you walk in, it's like, feels straight out of 1976. It's all brown and stuff. I get off the plane, I'm like, what the? But would recommend going to Yosemite.
Really? Oh, yeah, the national park.
It's
beautiful. Have you been to Acadia before?
No, I don't think.
It's the one up in Maine, a national park up in Maine.
Maybe. I don't think.
It's pretty up there. I've gone there twice now.
Yeah, I don't know. It's definitely... Love to do that.
I want to spend more time in national parks.
Yeah.
It's sad that that's where we have to go to, like, immerse ourselves in nature. It's this land that has been, you know, sectioned off by the government. But, you know, we'll take what we can get.
It's something, you know.
Exactly.
Either that or just go out in the woods here.
I've done that, too.
Yeah.
Have you been to the, you've been to Horse Barn Hill, right?
Oh, yeah.
Have you been to the Yukon Forest right behind it?
No, I run through there sometimes.
It's...
I went back to look at the sheep and cows behind Horse Barn Hill the other day. My parents were up and they're like, oh, let's go look at the animals. I'm like, okay.
Mm-hmm. Once I went through a run back there and I got lost and it was like 90 degrees out.
Dude.
It was rough.
It was during the day? Or...
Yeah, it was right in the middle of the day, too.
All right, at least it was light.
Oh, yeah,
out,
like, I could see where I was going.
If it's dark out, ooh, brother, you're screwed.
I know, because I went behind those, like right by the sheep, and I thought I could go around the hill. And then realized I couldn't.
The sheep are funny. I've gotten like staring contests with them.
Do you know, I have friends who are animal science majors.
I have a friend who's an animal science major too,
And I think, I don't know if it's a class or if it's an assignment for a class, but I think there's essentially like something they have to do where they just like raise a cow. Like that's literally like, they just like take care of it and like they clean it, feed it, and they just... kind of hang out with it.
The thing that disappoints me about cows is that cow tipping isn't like a real thing. That's just a myth.
What is that? Is that a...
Where you just like push over a cow. That's the myth. It sounds funny, but it's like, I guess technically it's just a myth. We could test it out.
I don't know. They're heavy though.
They are heavy.
I went to a farm in Windsor last
winter. I think it's
break.
Technically illegal too, so...
Probably. Wait a... Add something to your fee bill if you do that up here at UConn.
Yeah.
What's it called, though? I went to a park in Windsor, you know, over winter break, and they had, like, a single cow there. I don't know if it's for the kids to look
at.
Like, a single cow living by itself.
Just one?
And it was the fattest cow I had ever seen. I kid you not, it was probably the size of, lengthwise, about this big. It was just huge.
It was so funny, because when we were looking at the cows on Horse Barn Hill, some girl was at the bottom of the hill. I don't know if she was in the animal science department or what. She did some sort of cow call, and they all go running. They all go running towards her. Even, like, the big ones take off. I'm like, what? Would you look at that?
That is crazy. I do like going there and looking at the cows.
Oh,
the animals.
They're funny.
The view on Horse Barn Hill is awesome, too.
I went, my first week up here, me and some folks, we went up there for sunset.
Mm.
Beautiful.
What's it called? I like going up there at night, too, if you can find your way up there.
Yeah.
It's very humbling.
Yeah.
You know, just
I was going to go up one night, but I'm like, am I going to be able to find my way around
that? I was going
to
say, it gets dark.
That's pretty dark. Yeah.
No, what's it called? I was running yesterday, and it was too dark out. I couldn't see outside, so I kind of had my flashlight on my phone, and it was just not a fun little run. So what's it called, too? What was I going to say? Have you been to the track on the fourth floor of the...
Haven't been up there yet.
The rec center? On the wall is just the view from Horse Barn Hill.
Really?
And it kind of like loops around the wall.
Yeah, I know it goes around like the floor and stuff.
It's pretty, it's something to look at when you're jogging up there. So
Must be cool.
It is a very good vibe.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it sounds fun, man.
Hell yeah. We're at 1 hour and 4 minutes. I mean, that's a pretty good length if you want to keep going.
Yeah,
I mean,
it's really good. It's whatever you want
to
do.
I do have to get ready for my show, and I got to watch a movie for a class before that. So.
What do you have to watch?
I have to watch a silent French film about World War II. I do not know what it's called. I thought it would take me like 45 minutes. I'm like, it's a silent film. It's going to be easy. And then I look at it. It's like 3 hours long.
Oh, like, for humanities, our theme is like war movies this year. And then we had to watch one, The Thin Red Line. Basically like World War II soldier, like the Battle of Guadalcanal or something.
Okay.
So yeah, that was 3 hours.
Ooh.
It was good. Good movie, but you know, it's a lot to process. You know, yeah. I was sitting there for 3 hours. I'm like, okay. So
I don't like watching movies for classes. It just takes the fun out of it.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't mind it. Like, I'd rather do that than read, but you know, it's like,
Yeah, I'm with you. Like, I had to watch Citizen Kane for my journalism class recently, which was pretty good, I'd say. Okay. You know, lived up to the hype.
Yeah.
You know? Definitely worth a watch. Would I call it the greatest film of all time? I don't know, but...
Yeah, because people say it's the best of all time.
Oh, yeah. It's, like, consistently in the discussion.
Really?
Yeah.
A little before our time, so...
Way before.
Just, yeah.
Certainly.
Just, like...
Certainly up there, though.
80 years. Is it 80 years old? I think it's...
1940-something. Yeah, basically.
That's crazy.
80. It's, like, 81.
It's, like, that the 40s films are going to be 100 years old in a while.
Wow. That's crazy.
I've watched a couple of them for classes before.
I want to watch Casablanca.
Is that with Humphrey Bogart?
That is with Humphrey Bogart. And that one is also mentioned a lot.
I've seen the Maltese Falcon. I don't know if that's Humphrey Bogart. I think it is. I don't know much about him.
I know he was very, very beloved for sure.
He's a good actor. I mean, I think his acting stands up.
Yeah.
His characters are a little misogynist, but...
1940.
Exactly. It's a different time. But I don't know. He's very charismatic. It's difficult not to like him, I think.
Gotcha.
He's also kind of just like a Marlboro man, like tough guy, you know?
Nice.
So,
yeah, I'll have to check some stuff out. So, actually,
let's do it.
Well, thank you for tuning in today to Almost Ablaze. Hope you enjoyed our discussions, and we will see you next time.
Next week, absolutely.
So keep trucking on.